You guys remember the movie Nemo, Finding Nemo? Yep. There's a funny moment in that movie where Nemo's dad, which I don't remember his name. Marlin. Wow, we got some fans here. Met this fish named Dory. And Dory had a problem. Dory had short-term memory loss. And so there's a scene where Marlin's following Dory because she saw the boat that Nemo was taken in. She's like, all right, I'm going to follow you. And she's going, and they're swimming fast. And all of a sudden, Dory looks back, and she's like, who's this guy following me? And then she starts darting to and fro, trying to get away, and then finally is like, what are you doing? Why are you following me? He's like, hey, you're supposed to bring me to this boat. She's like, oh, I saw a boat once, you know, and just a funny thing, and I, you know, hope to be able to show that video, but the Lord thought otherwise. And it's just an interesting thing because memory is such an important thing for us, right? When we remember things, it is really beneficial for people. When we forget things, it's harmful for us and sometimes harmful for other people. Memory is such a core aspect of what it means to be human and to operate in this world. So if you remember, we have a Christmas tea on December 10th at 2 p.m. And we have a Thanksgiving service this Tuesday. Memory, our ability to remember helps us in various ways. And today I wanted to look at, we're going to continue our series in Book of Jude. We'll be there verse 17 through 19. Really, in today, I wanted to look at the concept of remembrance and its usefulness in the life of a believer. So if you have your Bibles, open them up with me to the book of Jude. Let's look at verse 17. We're going to read, and then I'm going to take a few points and make it as clear as I possibly can for you. Verse 17 says this, "But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is those who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit." See, if you've been with us and you remember what we've been studying through, we've been in the book of Jude. Spent a good time looking at the book of Jude. We've been looking at the book of Jude as this book that is helping us to understand what our job is as believers when it comes to recognizing false teaching and rejecting it. Last week, we looked at some components of how we can recognize false teachers. And if you'll remember, where we landed is that we need to be on guard for ourselves. Because false teachers appeal to things that we believe are actually, that we actually need to be fulfilled. And when we forget, our purpose in life is to look towards Jesus for everything. That he fulfills us in every way. He is the one who we're called to seek after, to follow, to love with all our heart, soul, mind, strength. That in him is everything that we need. We've been filled with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. It's all in him. And when we start to believe that there's something else that can provide me what I actually truly need that is not in Jesus, then we're going to be susceptible to a false teacher who's going to provide an aspect of the a picture of the good life for you. Thinking that more money, more position, more power, or more pleasure is going to actually fulfill me. And these false teachers, they come in and this is what they provide, right? Give me your money. We're going to seed your money in, you know, $1,000. And the Lord's going to take care of all your bills. Doesn't matter if you don't have it. Put it on a credit card, you know. And that's what false teachers want to do. They themselves want to follow their own ungodly passions. And they themselves believe that the things in this world can fill them. So we're continuing this, and in Jude, after laying these men out, right, these waterless clouds, these hidden reefs, these people, these wicked people, he speaks to the believers and appeals to their memory. So today I want to look at just a quick observation from this text, and then I want to kind of move up from Jude and look broadly across the Bible, how God's used remembrance in the life of his people to help them in their walk with him. And then hopefully we can walk away with a good application for us, and it's a, you know, 3-point good sermon. So the first point I want you to see is that Jude appealed to the memory of the believers, the believers' memory, so that they would remain faithful. I mean, Jude appeals to their memory, but you must, right, this is an imperative, a command, you must remember the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what you were taught, right? So Jude, in this church that has false teaching, has people coming in and distorting the gospel, distorting the grace of God, leading God's people away into destructive destructive practices in their life. He speaks to them and says, "You must remember." Right? This is really Jude's whole book is calling to the believer's memory. In the beginning of the book, if you'll remember, Jude writes this saying, I wanted to write to you for a specific purpose. I had this desire to write to you about our common salvation. Right? His initial purpose in writing a letter to the church that he was writing to was to rejoice in the commonality of the salvation that they have. We both believe in Jesus. We've both been ransomed. We're both saved. Christ put to death for us. We're alive because of him. We have eternal life. There's no condemnation for any of us. Jesus ransomed us. And what he's wanting to do is to call to memory to the memory of these believers what they first believed. Right, so he starts out this book with a desire to help them remember, and then in concept, right, but I want to remind you what's going on. Verse 5, now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it. Right, I need you to remember what's happening. I need you to remember what you're here for. I need you to remember what you first believed, and I need you to understand that as you weigh it against what you're hearing. Right? And then again, verse 17, but you must remember. So three times in this book, Jude's appealing to memory of the believers that he's writing to. See, remembering the truth helps to delineate the false teaching. So if I know the right thing, then I can know what's the wrong thing. I can measure it against it. Jude needed these believers to remember so that they would remain faithful. Now, I don't think that's a hard point for us to get a hold of. It's pretty simple. Jude wanted these believers to remember because by remembering, they would be able to continue walking in a manner that's worthy of their calling. Now, this is not something unique to the book of Jude. This is something that God has used for his people throughout all of written history. God's people have always used reminders to remain faithful. We see this in Genesis, starting. Like any of us who've been through children's ministry, we know the story of Noah, right? This man who God called to build an ark. Took many, many, many years to build. While the world was going off in its own direction, wickedness was increasing, and this man who it had went for a time that it had never rained in the history of the earth is building a boat because a big flood's going to come and it's going to rain. So he's looking like a crazy person, and he does it. He trusts the Lord. He builds this boat. He saves animals. He saves his family. The Lord saves Noah through this ark. And then after the waters recede, what does God do? He puts his bow in the cloud. So God establishes a rainbow. And it's there. Rainbows are not there to remember the Irish, right? Rainbows are there to remember God's faithfulness, that he will not ever again flood the entire earth, that he rescued his people through the coming flood. And that rainbow and that ark stands as a symbol of what God's going to do through his church, that he's going to rescue his people. So God puts in the cloud this statement of, every time you look up at it, Noah, I want to want you to teach your generations after you who I am and what I've done. And every time you see a rainbow, I want you to know about my faithfulness, my goodness, my rescue, and also my justice. And then you fast forward a few hundred years, and God rescues his people out of Egypt. Strong hand, mighty arm. Like he takes this guy who ran from Egyptian royalty, kills a person, runs away, hides in the wilderness, and he calls him out through a burning bush. Like, this is crazy. He says, no, you're going to go declare to the world leader, the most powerful person in the world at the time, that his group of slaves are no longer his slaves, and he has to let them go. And there's this whole story, all these things happen, but at the end of the day, the Lord rescues his people out of the hand of their enemy. And he brings them to a sea that they can't pass, and he breaks it open, and he goes through. And after they go through, what does he want them to do? He wants them to celebrate every year Passover. Why does he want them to do that? Every year he wants them to remember how he saved them. He rescued the firstborn by the blood of the Lamb. He rescued his people out of Egypt and brought them through an impassable sea. See, God actually continues that. He said, no, not only one time, I want you 7 times a year celebrate a feast. Every year, 7 times. You get together and you celebrate these different feasts that help you to remember who I am and who you are. Not only that, God gives in his Ten Commandments not only a yearly system of remembrance, but a weekly system of remembrance. One day out of every week, I want you to stop what you're doing. I don't want you to work. I want you to enjoy and rest in my provision. I want you to remember that you are not God, that I am God. And no matter what's going on, it doesn't matter. Because nothing is so important for you to deny the fact that I can be your provider. And for a farmer, that's a hard thing. Not many of us here are farmers, I don't think. Some of us tried to be farmers out here. Did pretty good. But if you're a farmer, what happens at harvest? You got to get out and you got to get your crop before the animals or other people or the weather gets it. And most farmers, when it's harvest time, I mean, they are out 24/7 nowadays. Tractors have lights. They actually run by GPS. You don't even touch the steering wheel on these things nowadays. It's amazing. But there's always something to do. And there's always something that needs to get done right away. And if you're a farmer, I got to get out there. I got to get the food out. And what would happen if on a Friday you see rain clouds? And I got to get out there before my crop's destroyed. The Lord says, no, I want you to rest. I want you to remember that I am your provider. And we could take this, we could look at all of our jobs, right? From a student, I got to study. No, I want you to rest. I'll take care of it. Lord, I'm a business owner. People depend on me. No, I want you to rest. I will take care of it. And this weekly reminder is telling his people, you are not God. You don't have to have it in control. I will take care of it. I want you to remember who I am. Right? See, God has used reminders, right? Not only weekly reminders, but he even instructs his people to have a daily reminder. And I think that I've skipped a couple of passages. But look at me with Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. The Shema, right? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign in your hand, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and of your gates. Israel, listen. I want you to teach your kids who I am. When you lie down, when you rise up, when you're sitting around in your house, when you're going about your day, all day, I want you talking about who I am, what I've asked of you. And this is not necessarily a blessing for the children, but it's also a blessing for the teacher. Any of you who've ever taught anything understand that you have to know what you're teaching in order to teach it effectively. There may be some people out there who teach that which they don't know. But if you are going to teach something, you have to know it. And so when you're teaching the law of the Lord, the teaching of the Lord, you're being reminded of it. You're understanding it. You're applying it. And you're teaching your kids. Kids, we don't need to grumble and complain. Well, Dad, you were just grumbling and complaining. You're right. I missed it. Praise the Lord that he's a forgiving God. And now I can learn, yeah, I do need to stop grumbling and complaining. And this is God's compassion for his people. Because we're prone to forget. 237 times the word remember is used in the Bible. Used in both a positive way and in a negative way, right? Remember what I've done for you. Remember who I am. Remember that I've rescued you. Remember that I care for you. Remember what you're here for. And then a negative way, right? We have here in Judges. As soon as Gideon died, the people of Israel turned again and whored after the Baals and made Baal-Berith in their god. And the people of Israel did not remember the Lord their God who had delivered them from the hand of all their enemies on every side. It's sad reading these things in the Bible. Because you see God doing an amazing thing through this guy named Gideon. Right? 300 from 30,000 to 300 men. He says, take some pots and some horns, and I'm going to defeat your enemy for you. And God rescues his people in a way that is clearly him who did it. Right after he died, they're back, worshiping false gods. Worshiping ones who are teaching them to go after things that are not healthy or good for them and causing destruction into their life. Right? Remember. Any of you have been reading through, you know, your book, Bible in a year, went through Kings. Read about a guy named Josiah, right? This young king who found the book of the law hidden in the temple. Now just think about that for a moment. The book of the law, the foundational governing documents for the people of Israel, the people of Judah, was hidden for years. So much so that they didn't even know about it. What is this thing? Read it to me. I've never heard this before. And he makes the whole people hear it. And massive reforms happen in Israel because of it. Now, these people were asked to speak about God when they rise up, when they lie down. They were asked to have something on their doorposts that reminded them of who God was, and they forgot. And you just keep on looking through all of Scripture, and you see this God's people forgetting who they were, whose they were, suffering judgment and destruction in their life till they are exiled and then brought back into the land. Paul even uses this to correct teaching that was happening in the early church. I don't have it up here, but if you have your Bibles, 1 Corinthians 15. Paul says, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel that I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, and if you hold fast to the word that I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as first importance what I also received from Christ, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. He was buried, and he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. And he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then all the apostles, and last of all, as one to untimely born, he appeared to me, for I am the least of apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain." Right, Paul's writing these guys like, you're forgetting. Christ raised from the dead. Let me tell you about it. If you don't believe me, there's people still alive who saw him. Go talk to him. Quit following after these false idols in your life. Trust the Lord. Follow him. He's real. He's alive. He's rescued us. He's good. He's faithful. He's kind. Remember. Right? This has been happening for history. It still happens now. I don't know if you guys know, like, feel the same thing. But I feel like I forget things all the time. I'm at a point in my life where I've learned more theology than I know right now. You forget. And almost like daily, you forget. Like some people wake up super happy. Life is awesome. Ready to go about the day. Other people are like, another day. You wake up and it's like all that you learned the day before drained out of your ears into the pillow. And you're like, oh, the kids didn't sleep. I gotta do this thing. I got all this stuff going on. Blah, 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 blah. And you got to sit there and go, no, what a good day. This is the day that the Lord made. Soul, let's rejoice and be glad in it. I've been adopted. I have more privilege than I could ever describe, and I deserve none of it. God is good. He's faithful. He has his will for me. He has things for me to do, and he empowers those things. But he's called me to trust him. That he is my God, that he's sovereign, that he's powerful, that he's able, that he's good. My future is secure. My past is covered. My present is I'm able to walk through the present because he's taking care of all of it. And God is good. What a good day. And it all happens by remembering. See, God's people have always used reminders to be faithful because our memory supports faithful living. Our memory supports faithful living. See, what is to remember? It's to recall what is once known. Like to bring to the forefront what I've known before. And And so often we forget. I've said this before, I'll say it a lot. One motto for me for Christian life is, I know it, but I forget often. Kind of what Jude says in verse 5. I want to remind you what you once knew. We need to remember who we are. We need to remember the gracious provision of our God. We need to remember what we're here for. We need to remember what our position is before God. Right? Dead in my sins and trespasses. But because of the grace and the mercy of God poured out through his son Jesus, who came and lived a life that I could not live and died a death that I deserve, and then rose again from the dead so that I can have a life that he deserves. He gives it to me. And he's taken me out of the brokenness of my life, and he's moved me into a new life. I am a new creation. There is no condemnation for me. All things have been made new. And the struggle that I have in life is a struggle that God is walking with me. An old nature fighting against a new nature. And I am in process of, I am already fully saved, I am not yet saved, and I will be fully saved in the future. Everything made new. Jesus is coming again. The end's already written. The enemy who's so eager to destroy me is already destroyed in the eyes of God. So I don't need to worry about it. So if things fall apart in my life, if I lose my job, if a family gets a diagnosis that I don't like, something terrible happens, all that gets filtered through the reality that God has me safe in his hand. That he's going to make all things new. He's going to right all the wrongs. And not only is he going to do that, he is a mastermind able to take the brokenness that sin has entered and created in this world. Right? Evil does not come from God. Evil is a product of the brokenness that sin has created in this world. Cancer, child trafficking, whatever it is, all of that is from sin, and God is able to take it, shift it, move it into something good. And when we forget the reality of that, we fall into despair. When we forget that God is good and not some kind of overarching, mean, cold, distant God, we start working out of this weird desire to appease him, as if somehow our works could appease him. When we remember that God is pleased with us already because of Jesus, we get to live with the pressure off of our shoulders. Jesus, I screwed up yesterday. But you provided for that already. And I don't want to go back there. Your blood has covered it all, but I don't want to waste a single drop of your blood. So please, Lord, help me today to walk faithfully with you. Speak through me today to someone else. Work through me, Lord, even if I don't see it. I know you're working. I need you. I trust you. I depend on you. Help me to remember. So, if this is all true, memory supports faithful living, what should we do? It's very simple. Remind yourselves daily of who God is, what he has done, is doing, and what he will do. We give this thing out every year. It's a little calendar to read through the Bible. It's not there to give you something extra to do. It's just a tool to get you engaged in God's word, to help you to do this, to remember who God is, what he has done, what he is doing, what he will do. It's a tool to get into his word that speaks of his goodness, his faithfulness, his kindness. Speaks of what's actually healthy and beneficial for me. It's a tool just to engage in rest with him, to commune with him. It's not there to go, okay, well, I got my box checked off. I guess I've been a good Christian today. Or to go, man, I missed a few days. It's like, well, who cares? The point is that isn't that we did all the challenges. The point is that we met with our Savior. And we remind ourselves not only by sitting and going, good morning, Lord, I feel terrible, but I know you're good. You paid my way. You're walking with me today. You're here. Lord, I invite you. You are the king of my heart. You have throne over me, rulership over me. Lead me today. Father, like a shepherd, lead me. But also, Lord, teach me something about who you are. Teach me something about what I need to know to follow you more closely. Shape me, mold me. And it's amazing when you're in the Word how God, through his Holy Spirit, uses what you've read to interact with people. I mean, it's like every single time a Jehovah's Witness has come to my house, I just happen to be reading something in the Word that is not the normal thing you argue against a Jehovah's Witness. But to go in and say, well, what, did you read this? And then they put your name on a book and don't come back to your house. But you witness to them, you speak to them as a person who's not an adversary, but someone who's lost in need of grace. Or you read it and you have a conversation with someone. It's like, man, I'm really struggling with, like, I just read this today. I was really in the pits. Here's what God spoke to me. I woke up thinking this lie that life's supposed to be perfect, and I was all upset about it because it wasn't. But God reminded me that life is not perfect. This life is not made for perfection. But we're being brought to the place that's made for perfection. We're being brought to heaven. But in the meantime, this life is made to struggle in dependence on him. And he's faithful to walk through every trial in my life. But we read the Bible, we pray, we talk with our kids. This is something that always stick in my mind. It happened a few years ago with my kids when we were living in Nebraska. But we pray with our kids, we read, we do devotions. We're not 100% consistent with it. We try to expose them to biblical things. But when we find opportunities where we need God to act on our behalf, even simple ones, we take time to pray and see God work. So when I was in Nebraska, some of you don't know, I used to live there, and we were an hour and a half from the nearest Walmart. And so when we went to go get some big items or whatever, we had to take a trip. And so we went. My son at the time needed a new helmet, so we had to go to the Walmart. Terrence had some appointment to go to, so I dropped her off, and we were going to go over there. My kids have big heads. It's just genetic. I'm sorry. I've apologized to them. But we're going, and he's, four at the time probably. Because I had three of Moses was there. And I had a baby, I had two little kids, and Abe goes, Dad, I need to go potty. I was like, can you hold it? Nope, I need to go right now. Okay. And I don't know about you, but I just have a practice where I don't take my three kids with me together into a Walmart bathroom. It's just not something that I ever want to do. Just not the cleanest place in the world. But there was this place, a Y, that had this park that we liked to go to while we were waiting on things, and they had a family bathroom that was always clean. So I'm like, okay, we're over there, we're gonna go to the park instead. And guys, but that bathroom has been used. I've gotten there, it's locked sometimes. So we're gonna pray, because Abe's about, he has to go.
And we're going to pray that the Lord is going to keep that door open for us. So let's pray right now. We prayed, and we got there, and it was open, and we got in there, and Abe didn't make a mess anywhere, and it was awesome. And I said, guys, look what God did. We prayed, and he answered. Now, I'll just a side note, you don't know how many people ask chaplains to pray for bodily functions. It just happens. But that illustrates the fact that God is concerned about the most simple, minute details of our life. Not just the big things, where my daughter wanted a sister, and I said, well, you pray for God to give you a sister. And evidently, he hears my daughter. And so now she has a sister, and we helped her to see, you prayed for this. The Lord provided. Right? This is tools to help us to remember God is with us. Lord, I'm late to work. Can you please open up the traffic or give grace to my boss? Right? We can do that. We read the Bible. We pray. We talk about the Lord. We talk about his goodness. We talk to other people about what we've been feasting on in the Word. Christian life cannot be successfully lived if all you're doing is coming to a church on Sunday to hear a preacher give you something from God's Word. But it so easily and so quickly evolves into that, or devolves into that. Ah, I missed today. I was busy. I'll get it next day, tomorrow. Ah, I missed this day. Well, you know, I'll get it tomorrow. Oh, we know what? Sunday's coming up. I'll just go there. We're good. And we're missing out, and we're stepping into potholes in our life because we're not remembering whose we are, who we are, why we're here, who God is. That he actually wants to walk with you in your life today. He actually wants to work out miracles in your life today. And I'm not saying some like miraculous, you know, bread, my bread in my fridge just over explodes everywhere and now I got too much. No, he wants to step in and answer things for you. Lord, I would like to encourage a person today. I want you to use me to encourage someone who's not doing well. That's a prayer the Lord will answer. And then when you see it, you go, praise the Lord. I prayed for that and you did it. I want to see it happen again. But it's easy to not get there. Because we find ourselves being Dory Christians. Just like Israel's, just like Dory. Oh yeah, God, you're good. Oh, what's this statue over here? So we read our Bibles, we pray. I mean, we even sing a song about that. Read your Bibles and pray every day. I don't know the tune anymore. I forgot. I didn't need to remember. But we also sing. Right? The reason we sing songs here is not to entertain. It's not because that's some check mark in a service that we have to have. The reason we sing songs here is to remind ourselves corporately of who God is. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. You broke my chains. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm a child of God. Even though I currently feel like I'm a slave to fear, but that is not true because I am a child of God and the fear in my life can leave. Because God is good, has taken care of my past, has taken care of my future, and that God, Emmanuel, God who is with us, the God we're going to be looking at, this baby who came in Advent, is actually with me today. Not only with me, he's in me. Because his spirit dwells within me. So, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing. As a way to remind ourselves of God's goodness, his faithfulness. And my hope is this week, just one day at a time, we take the challenge to wake up and say, Lord, you are good. You are in charge. You rule. You provide. And you're with me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your son. I thank you that you know our frame, Lord. You know every aspect of us. You know our thoughts before we think them. And you love us. Lord, I thank you that we are released from the bondage of working to please other people, but we've been freed into the freedom of an everything only working for you. You matter to us. So Lord, help us to remember. Help us to understand. To carry your truth into this world. Remind us of who you are. In your name, amen.
Let's stand together and sing to him.